Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about responding to God's kindness. Responding to God's kindness and his goodness. We're going to be taking a look at a story about King Hezekiah from the Old Testament, and how it says that when God showed him kindness, God heals him and shows him his kindness and his goodness, his heart did not respond the right way. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about the importance of having a responsive heart. We talked about the example of King Josiah in the Bible, about how when his priests begin to read the Old Testament book of the law to him, he says his heart is responsive. His heart is responsive, and he responds, and he begins to repent, and he begins to make changes. And so what I began to see here is there's two sides of this, two sides of having a responsive heart. One side is being willing to make adjustments and corrections when we realize we're off track. The other side is when God begins to show us his grace and his kindness and his goodness to us that's given to us in Christ Jesus. There's supposed to be a response that comes back. For example, you give somebody a gift and they just don't respond. It makes you kind of wonder, do they really value the gift? Responding to God's kindness and goodness. It's his kindness and his goodness that leads us to repentance. We're going to take a look at this a little bit more. We're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves, to get our hearts and minds positioned in the light, before we take our time of communion today. Let's get started with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace and your goodness and your kindness given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and your kindness, and to let it flow through us and to give us hearts that respond in a way that honors you, but to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hands on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. It's where we start with our first fundamental. We talk about our four fundamentals: getting positioned in the light, magnifying that light, doing the things that you know to do today, doing them trusting that God's with you, helping you and equipping you, and finally staying tuned into his leading and his voice as you go through the day today. So our first fundamental, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. into the kingdom of Jesus. And that transfer happens through the forgiveness of sins. It's forgiveness that brings us in. But that forgiveness has got to flow through three levels. We've got to receive it from God. It's got to flow through us out into the world, out to other people. So the first step is just receiving it from God. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in thanksgiving and praise and gratitude for all that God has done for us. To be positioned both in forgiveness and thanksgiving and praise is to be positioned in the light. We got to receive it from God. We got to forgive ourselves, give ourselves the same grace God has given us. We're often beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves for things that we've done. Then we got to walk in that same forgiveness with other people as well. Which means what? We got to release some things. We got to let some things go, just like God has done for us. So to walk in the light is to stay positioned in forgiveness. It's to stay positioned in faith. Because we access this grace. We access everything God has for us by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is simply praise and thanksgiving. As you stay positioned in forgiveness, positioned in praise and thanksgiving, it's something like an opener where it opens you up and expands your capacity to be able to receive all God has for you in our lives. I think it also keeps you positioned in a heart positioning of humility as well. God gives grace to the humble. Keeps you positioned in humility, which we're going to see today is an important key to responding to God's kindness the right way. Then our second fundamental, magnifying the light. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. Be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. How does this happen? I think it's all about what we're magnifying each day. We're all magnifying something based on what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're meditating on, what we're rolling over in our minds continually each day. And the reality is there's only two options. It can be light or it can be darkness. To magnify the light is to magnify God's steadfast, unfailing love. It's to magnify his word and his promises and his faithfulness, that nothing's impossible for him. That he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises, that all of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. To magnify the light is to stay focused on that and meditating on it and talking about it and rehearsing it and rehearing it continually. And what happens as we magnify it, it begins to grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. It begins to get greater and greater. We make God greater on the inside of us. All of a sudden, this faith begins to rise up on the inside of you. But the alternative is we can magnify darkness. We can magnify the issues and the problems and the evil and all the darkness, all the things that could have, should have, or would have happened. Usually we get into that rather than thanksgiving and praise and forgiveness. We get into the darkness through venting and complaining and airing our frustrations and meditating on the problem over and over. And what happens? We've all had that experience. We have a problem and you keep thinking about it and thinking about it, and it just grows bigger and bigger on the inside of you. And remember, whatever you begin to magnify is going to begin to magnetize. It's going to begin to pull more and more of that into your world. As you focus on God and you see all the things he's doing, all the ways he's coming through, all of a sudden you see more of it. The more you focus on it, the more of it you see. But the same is also true of the darkness. The more you focus on it, the more you pull more of it into your life. All the things that you don't want. And this is where it's good for us to get good at recognizing the symptoms of what we're magnifying so we can make very quick adjustments. Because the good news is, if we're magnifying darkness, we can literally turn it around, bring it right back into light, get positioned back in light in 1 second. Just by simply changing our focus and choosing to focus on God, his love, his faithfulness, his word, his kindness, his goodness, whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report, we can choose to focus on those things. But we got to recognize the symptoms of where is my positioning and what am I magnifying? Positioning is positioning in thanksgiving and praise and gratitude and humility. And on the backside of it, there's this peace that surpasses all understanding. The joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow, helping you to do effortlessly the things that you know to do. Everything feels light and free and easy, and your energy levels begin to increase. When we're magnifying darkness, we're positioned in darkness. Everything feels heavy and oppressive and a lot of pressure, like there's no way out. It usually has the venting and complaining and gossiping and airing frustrations, and all of a sudden there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety and the dread of the future, the disappointment, the frustrations. Learning to recognize that and turn it back around. Just a simple, Father, forgive me for magnifying that. Help me to magnify that. Help me to stay positioned in the light and get right, turn back, right back around. It can happen in 1 second. It's getting good at recognizing those symptoms so that you can make those adjustments in real time, day by day. And then as you stay positioned in the light, you can see. You can know what to do. When we're positioned in darkness, we're magnifying darkness. We keep tripping and stumbling over the same things over and over. We keep having the same issues over and over again. Bring them into the light. You can see. You can know what to do. Which leads us to our third fundamental. What do you know to do today? As you stay positioned in the light, all of a sudden this faith begins to rise up in you, urging you and compelling you to take action and to do the things that you know to do. But often we get caught up at all the things that we're unclear of, all the things we're uncertain of. Maybe we feel overwhelmed because we've got too much to do. What do you know to do today? What can you get done today? How could you just take a few steps forward? What are the things that you know to walk in? And something I've been thinking about a little bit lately is sometimes you got most of what you know to do done. You got it done. What do you do in those times? I found this to be the case for myself. I had a day recently where I had done everything I had planned on doing and had some free time. And I'm praying, and it's like, all right, God, what am I supposed to be doing now? And I have to watch myself because I get caught up in doing and doing and doing and trying to do too much sometimes. He said, this is just time for you to enjoy, just to be more present and to enjoy your time with your family. And I need to do more of that personally. Just time to be present and enjoy more time with your family. Enjoy the people around you. When you've done all you know to do, you're supposed to do all those things that we know to do, do it with joy. But then when you don't know what to do, enjoy your life. Enjoy the things that you're doing today. And then our fourth fundamental. Staying tuned into God's voice. Staying tuned into His leading today. As you get positioned in the light, you begin to magnify the light, His word and His promises and His love and His faithfulness, His power. You begin to do the things you know to do. It's something like tuning a radio receiver. And all of a sudden, your ability to hear God's voice and His leading and direction in your life greatly increases. And it's His voice that leads us one graceful step after another, to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. One of the greatest things you can do each day is just taking the time to get still, to listen. I like to ask God this question. God, what was it you're trying to teach me or show me today? I like to do it before bed. And just begin to write down whatever you hear, whatever begins to come to your mind. Just begin to write it down. Begin to record your journey with God. So let's talk about this responding to God's kindness. So we're going to see a story here of King Hezekiah from 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Now, if you look, I believe it's in the book of Kings, either the first or second Kings. There's the story of how Hezekiah gets sick. And the prophet comes and tells him he's going to die. Hezekiah humbles himself and prays to God, and God grants his prayer and says, all right, I'm going to let you live 15 more years. He makes time go backwards for him as a sign to him that what he has told him is going to come to pass. and they watch the sun move backward on the steps. But then in 2 Chronicles 32, it's an interesting thing here. It says, in those days, it's kind of recapping the story, just tells a shorter version. In those days, Hezekiah became ill, and he was at the point of death. But he prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. So God heals him, says, I'm going to let you live 15 more years. And he gives him this miraculous sign of making time literally go backwards. But we see in verse 25, it says, Hezekiah's heart was proud. His heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown to him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. But then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. So his heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown to him. So I think when I think of a proud heart, we think of a stubborn heart, a hard heart, a rocky heart, a heart of stone. And God promises in the Old Testament, I'm going to roll away your heart of stone and give you a tender heart of flesh. I'm going to roll away your heart of stone, all the hard, rockiness, calloused heart. I'm going to roll all that away. Give you a new heart of flesh. Think about Jesus. On the third day, what happened? The stone was rolled away. God has rolled away our old hearts. We have to receive that from him by faith. Now, notice in Romans chapter 2, talks about the importance of what God's kindness and goodness is meant to do for us. This Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, says, you, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human, pass judgment on them, yet you do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? And then verse 4, it says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? It's God's kindness and his goodness and his grace that leads us to repentance. It's an interesting thing I've learned. Doing good for people when they don't deserve it. Doing good for people when they don't deserve it, which is what being gracious is, how you soften people's hearts. Being hard on them doesn't do it. Just makes them want to rebel even more. Giving grace or being gracious, doing good for people, treating them better than they deserve, leads them to repentance. It leads to a softer heart. So we're going to take communion over this today. It's just asking God, number one, thanking him, I guess. Thanking him for his kindness and his goodness and his patience and his grace to us. And helping us to respond the right way, with humble hearts. Think about that. When we get full of pride, we're not grateful for the things that people do for us. And God gives grace to the humble. So, Father, we're just so thankful for you. For your grace given to us in Christ Jesus, your kindness and your goodness, your patience with us. You could have left us on our own. We've all missed it. You could have left us on our own. You could have said, I've had enough of them. I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. I'm going to leave them off. I'm going to kill them off. Whatever. You could have done whatever you wanted to do. But you chose the way of love. You chose to send Jesus. You chose to send your one and only Son. As we take communion today, just remembering that, of the grace that you've given us. And that grace is meant to lead us to you, to know you better, but also to have humble, responsive hearts that are just so thankful, because it's not anything that we deserve. Father, we're just so thankful for you and for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit and all you guys have done for us. Thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it. Receive it." That he makes you right with God and holy and perfect in his sight through his one sacrifice. That the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. Father, we just thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. His kindness is meant to lead to change in our life. And I believe as we see his kindness and his goodness to us, it just helps us to know him better, to know his heart, to know his character of who he is. Father, we're just so thankful for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out. What is the response I think God wants to see from his kindness and goodness and patience with us? Number one, be grateful. Stay positioned in the light. Forgive others the way he's forgiven you. Stay positioned in the light. Ramp up your gratitude and your praise for him. Just believe it keeps you positioned where we're supposed to be. Then begin to magnify that light and walk out the things that you know to do. Turn your life into a living testimony for him. Stay tuned into his leading. Because I believe as you receive his goodness, what's going to happen? It magnetizes you, right? It's going to begin to pull more and more of that into your life. You see more and more of his kindness and his goodness and his patience and his grace flowing in your life. The more you focus on it and are grateful for it, you're going to see more and more of it everywhere you look. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.